everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose, did you have a great weekend?
You did. That's wonderful.
We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, August 18th, 2014. Hope you are off to what hopefully will be a productive week and had a good weekend. We had a lot of rain at the Buckmaster House. 4:30 in the morning, Sunday, big rain, and then again last night, two big rains in one day. We will take it. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday. We're here 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere. You can visit buckmastershow.com. We have the complete archive up for you, and also want to welcome one of our new media sponsors, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com have a link now to the Buckmaster Show and vice versa, so we welcome them into the fold. We'll get things rolling as we do each Monday afternoon with the Monday Political Face-Off. Then at the bottom of the hour, Randy Seraglio of the Center for Biological Diversity will join us, and we'll close out the show with sports guy Anthony Jimeno previewing, hard to believe, but Wildcat football kicks off 1 week from Friday. So summer quickly winding down. The Buckmaster Show live line is open 790-2040. The Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. And every Monday we do kick things off with one of our commentary teams. This week it's Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Does each state have just one committeeman?
One committee man and one committee woman and a state party chairman make up the state's delegation.
So there, did I hear you say there's one committee man and one committee woman per state?
Okay. Correct.
Plus the
and the state party chairman make up the delegation, and the DNC has a similar setup.
All right. Paul Eckerstrom is here. Paul's a longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democrat Party chair. Is that the same setup with the Democrats?
Pretty close. I think we have one woman, one man, and then we also have a state chair and a state vice chair make up the delegation. The state chair and the state vice chair have to be a man and a woman.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bruce and Paul, any rain over the weekend? Bruce, I know you were out of town, but any rain for you, Paul?
Oh, yeah, we got rain, but I was out of town, too. I was in San Diego for a soccer tournament for my daughter.
I'm surprised you and Mr. Ash didn't run into each other at the San Diego airport, because Bruce was over there as well.
I'm poor. I had to drive.
Oh, okay.
It was a long drive.
You had a good weekend.
It was great. Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be here.
All right. Believe it or not, we have the primary 1 week from today. This race is really narrow now. It's pretty much two-person race with Doug Ducey and the mayor of Mesa, Doug. Scott Smith, of course, the mayor of Mesa, and the head of the National Mayors Conference. So he brings a lot of credentials on the civic side of things. Bruce, the polling shows this is really within a statistical margin, too close to call at this point.
It'll depend on early votes, how they've fallen. Treasurer Ducey had a rather sizable lead as early voting started. That lead has narrowed, but it hasn't been dropping. Christine Jones' favorability ratings have been largely the reason that Mayor Smith is in the position he's at today. But, you know, the voters have the last say, not these statistical polls that are done.
Well, the immigration issue, Paul, has been really huge in the primary, and it's going to be interesting now to see how Fred Duvall will position his campaign. Do you think it might have served Fred to have had a primary?
No, actually, I don't believe so. I think it's – in sometimes it helps to have a primary, but also you burn up your financial finances in a primary, which could be used in the general election for TV commercials and things of that nature. In this situation, I think Fred would rather run against Doug Ducey because Doug Ducey is further to the right than Mayor Smith. I know Mayor Smith has a pretty good track record supporting education, and I think that would be attractive in the general election to Democrats and independents. I think if Mayor Smith wins the primary, the Republicans are going to take the governorship for sure. I wouldn't have too much of a complaint because I know Mayor Smith's support of education, and I kind of like that about him. He's obviously more conservative than a Democrat like Fred Duvall, who's moderate business-oriented Democrat, also very strong supporter of education. But I think if Ducey wins the primary, then it lines up to be a pretty interesting general election. And I think Fred then has a chance because of Doug Ducey's antagonism of public education and Fred's support in being a former Board of Regents member and also very much supportive of business in Arizona and in the Phoenix area. So in all that, I guess I don't know who to root for in the primary. I'm kind of rooting for Mayor Smith just because I know he'd be a good governor on education.
His father was a superintendent, I believe, not public instruction, but a superintendent, one of the school districts here in southern Arizona.
Yeah, and I think that is a good thing to have in his background, that he understands public schools. But if I was a person who wanted to make sure the Democrats had a chance of winning, I'd be rooting for Doug Ducey.
Bruce, do you think that Fred Duvall will be portrayed by the Republicans as a kind of a liberal tax and spending kind of the usual arguments, or how do you think it will be portrayed?
Well, Fred Duvall is an insider. He's been involved in lobbying work for years and years and years. He's been inside the most liberal parts of the Democratic Party here in the state of Arizona and nationally. It doesn't surprise me that Fred's lack of competition in the Democrat primary would be favored by Paul, because that's really the Democrat strategy. They don't want to have primaries. And, unfortunately, Republicans are dumb enough sometimes. We like to have
multi each other up,
well,
right?
When you try to look at all of the Republican money that's been spent just in the gubernatorial primary, I think it's close to $10 million or so. And I'm not even sure that includes outside groups who've taken a great interest in that election. I'm confident that the Republican will prevail. I don't think immigration is going to be nearly as big an issue as Fred is going to want to make it, because that's also part of the part of the Democratic playbook, is to try to conquer and divide that way. This election really is still going to be about jobs, and it's going to be about Common Core, and it's going to be about the expansion of Medicaid, and those I think are going to be the big issues.
And I'll take issue with what Bruce said about Fred. Fred is a moderate Democrat. He worked under Chief of Staff for Governor Bruce Babbitt when we had a very vibrant economy. And Bruce Babbitt wasn't a wide-eyed liberal governor. That's just not the case. Then he went on and he did work in the Clinton White House, and everybody knows the Clintons weren't the wide-eyed liberals of the Democratic Party. They're the right in the center of the spectrum in politics in the United States. Fred was appointed by Governor Napolitano to the Board of Regents. Fred is a supporter of education for business reasons, so that we have a strong future in terms of attracting businesses here, to having a strong educational system, high-tech industry, things of that nature. He is a pro-business Democrat, and that means he's going to be siding with developing jobs, working with the business community to do that, just like Bruce Babbitt did. I mean, he's pretty much a prototype of Bruce Babbitt. If you remember Bruce Babbitt or Governor Napolitano, that's what you're getting in Fred Duvall. And if you like those folks as governors, you'll like Fred as governor.
Hmm. All right. Rose, why don't we take the break right here? When we come back, we will talk about a little bit about the race, the McSally-Barber race. That'll be coming up right after this.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by our friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery at Dodge and Fort Lowell. Of course, they're also at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check them out for all of your framing needs. We thank Moe and the family for sponsoring our Monday political face-off, which today features, seated to the right of me, Bruce Ash, and to the left of me, Paul Eckerstrom. Bruce, let's begin with Texas Governor Perry, who late Friday was indicted. The indictment said it that came down from a grand jury in Austin, Texas. Governor Perry says this is a pure abuse of power.
Well, you can indict a ham sandwich, as was stated here on this station a little earlier this morning on the Prager Show, and this is a prime example. When this case gets into court and the facts come out and legal procedures have to be followed, I believe that it will not only clear Governor Perry of these charges, I think Governor Perry will actually be a stronger potential presidential candidate as a result, because people are hungry for a presidential candidate. And I think the Republicans will probably nominate a governor. I don't know if it'll be Governor Perry, but they're hungry for a candidate who actually does what he says he's going to do. And this was a legitimate case where the Travis County attorney was accused of driving three times the legal limit under the influence. And the fund that he vetoed, he threatened to veto, and he did veto. So that's not extorting. That he did follow through on, and that is his prerogative as governor of the state. Was about public integrity, and he didn't feel that that fund should have been controlled by Ms. Limburger, and that was the case. And this is, I think, probably going to help him and his stature with voters here in this country.
Wow. Bruce saying, Paul, that he thinks this will help Governor Perry's chances in 2016.
Well, one, I didn't think he had much of a chance in 2016 anyway because of his last run was so bad that I don't think he was a serious contender for the Republican nomination. But that being said, I just want to lay out some of the facts here. Yes, the Democratic district attorney from that Travis County has a DUI. Mm-hmm. She's an elected official. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is somebody that has to deal with the Texas Bar Association. Those are the places where she is not reelected by the folks in Travis County, and Barr could take away her bar license based on this if she gets convicted of this DUI. That's where this should have been. The governor wanted her to resign. He had no power to make her resign, and he basically threatened to veto funds to her county, her district attorney's office.
He didn't threaten. He did veto those funds
when she wouldn't resign. Huh. Now, whether this should be in the courts where he was indicted or not, I'm not sure. I don't understand Texas law. I don't pretend to, even though I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer in Arizona. But the plain fact is, in my view, it certainly wasn't ethical what Mr. Perry did in terms of that
Governor
veto.
Perry, yeah.
And you know, forcing an elected official to resign that you have no jurisdiction over and trying to bully her to resign is just wrong. She needs to face the voters in Travis County, which I'm sure they're not going to reelect her after this. And she also needs to face the state bar of Texas in terms of whether she even keeps her bar license. Mm. But Governor Perry has no right to do what he did. Mm. And I think, you know, and by the way, my understanding was a judge had ordered a special prosecutor to look into what Governor Perry's actions were. And the special prosecutor was the one that decided to prefer charges and bring it to a state grand jury. And the state grand jury indicted. Everything seems on the up and up. And whether it makes Governor Perry more popular or not, I don't really care, because I don't think he's got a chance in the 2016 nomination process.
Well, the one whose questions, the one whose motives have to be questioned is the Travis County attorney,
Well, she wasn't the one that brought these charges. It was a special prosecutor.
No, Bruce. You have to question. You have
appointed
to
question, by a judge.
You have to question her judgment. A law enforcement official who goes out driving a car at three times the legal limit.
I'm confident she will not be returned to office.
A caller wonders, and you are an attorney, Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do the panelists believe the grand jury system should be abolished?
I do.
You do believe that?
I don't like it. And Bruce had mentioned it earlier, and okay. I've experienced it both as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney, that a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. If a prosecutor wants an indictment, they can get an indictment pretty easily from a grand jury. I'd much rather go back to the old preliminary hearing system, which we still have in place. Mm-hmm. It's just the prosecutors get to choose.
When did this grand jury system come along then?
Well, when cases got so voluminous that they felt that judges couldn't do all the preliminary hearings to find what they call probable cause, mm-hmm. that this person committed a crime by hearing evidence. You know, all the Perry Mason shows, those were all preliminary hearings. He never went to trial. He always won them at the preliminary hearing.
Yeah.
And that is a much fairer system, although it is more difficult because the volume of cases makes it much more difficult.
So you would like to see it abolished.
I think the grand jury system doesn't work very well.
Bruce?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I did spend the night at a Holiday Inn Express last night. This is a rare case of judicial abuse on the part of this special prosecutor and probably this grand jury who found against Governor Perry. This will be adjudicated in the courts. It'll take a period of time to do that. Like Paul, I don't know that Governor Perry is a viable candidate for president, but one does have to look at his overall record as governor of the state of Texas, where there has been incredible job growth, incredible wealth that has been created amongst all sectors of the population.
Yeah, it's one of the top job-creating states, no question.
And this is something that, you know, comes with politics. It's just part of the game that gets played.
Guys, let me just
real quickly, because I want to bring this other topic.
Following up on the grand jury, grand juries give prosecutors more power than they should have. That's what I feel. And I think, I don't know if this case should have been indicted or not. I don't know the details of it. But, you know, and I know it looks like they followed everything in the law and a special prosecutor and all of that. But I do know that grand juries, are not a good way to go in terms of finding probable cause in cases, and I think they should be abolished.
Fox News has something on their website, Why I'm Betting on Republican Martha McSally in Arizona. That's according to Fox. And the author there says, outraising an incumbent is not easy. It is the true test of support for a challenger. They're talking about, the likely challenger to incumbent Ron Barber. In CD2, they believe that McSally, because she's raising the money, really is the one to put the money on. Paul, quickly, your thoughts.
Well, you know, money isn't everything in a campaign, and I think Ron's got enough money to mount a strong campaign. He's got a background in this community of helping people, helping adopt children to good homes, handicapped children. He's obviously worked for Gabby Giffords and actually took a bullet. And you know, his service record speaks for itself. I think that Martha McSally is vulnerable. She's a very strong candidate. This is going to be a close race. I think she's vulnerable in one regard. If she would ever really say her positions on things, which I believe are very far to the right and way out of whack with the constituents of CD2, then Ron will win. But if Ron can't get that out into the public view and Martha McSally can keep talking around every issue and never really giving a position, then I think Martha McSally probably will win.
Bruce Ash.
Martha McSally will win this election, not just because she's raised a ton of money and a lot of other resources will come to her side as well. She'll win the election because she's the best candidate for the job. She's going to be a strong leader. She is going to be a great listener. I think that if she is elected, she will serve this community and serve our country for probably the next 2 to 3 decades. She is that strong of a leader. And the things that she stands for, the principles she'll fight for on behalf of the citizens here in all of Arizona, are ones that only she could do. Ron Barber is not capable of the leadership that Martha McSally will provide.
Real quickly, Ron Barber saved the A-10 in Davis-Monthan. That's one thing he did directly for this community. Martha McSally, you just heard all the platitudes that Martha McSally says. Bruce just put them out there again. Mm-hmm. She has never taken a position on practically anything. This person, she's a woman, but she's very far to the right on women's rights and women's right to choose, all of those things. That needs to be scrutinized.
Paul Eckerstrom, Bruce Ash, gentlemen.
Always scaring the ladies, Paul.
Gentlemen,
nice going.
Thanks for coming in. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presented today's Monday Political Face-Off. Thank you, Moe. If anybody has any framing needs, that's just some of the things, the services they can take care of for you at Moe's. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A St. Louis County autopsy has found the unarmed black man killed during a confrontation with a white police officer was shot 6 to 8 times. The county medical examiner's office says the autopsy shows that Michael Brown was hit in the head as well as the chest. Earlier today, attorneys for Brown's family released details of their own autopsy. And Missouri Governor Jay Nixon is lifting a curfew in Ferguson while ordering the National Guard to help restore order in the St. Louis suburb that has seen sometimes violent protests. A spokesman for the Kurdish military says its Peshmerga forces are now in full control of Iraq's largest dam and its vicinity, successfully wresting back control from Islamic militants. On Wall Street, the NASDAQ up 36 points, and this is SRN.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views.
But large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
No, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday edition. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line number. You can also follow us on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's where we have the live streaming as well, of course, as AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The supervisor for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service up in Phoenix has changed earlier drafts regarding the proposed Rosemont Mine impact on the nation's only known and wild jaguar. The gentleman's name, the supervisor, is Steve Spangl. He vetoed several findings and recommendations from his staff's earlier drafts, including early drafts saying that the mine would kill, harm, or harass the jaguar, in part because habitat destruction could impair its breeding, feeding, and sheltering by reducing the animal's home range by one-third. This was a front-page story in the Arizona Daily Star that Tony Davis put together using Freedom of Information Act to get a lot of this information. Randy Seraglio is with us. Randy was quoted extensively in the piece. Randy is a conservation advocate for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, you've been around a long time. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Unfortunately, we have. This is actually, and we've seen it on this very species and from this very supervisor in this agency. It's part of a long pattern that they've had in evading the law, basically attempting to escape the requirements of the Endangered Species Act and not protect the jaguar. And in fact, the agency had to be sued three different times before they finally complied with a judge's order to protect this beautiful animal. And you know, jaguars belong here. They're part of our natural heritage. And the law says that when there's only one of them left, that's about as endangered as it gets, and you know, you should protect it. And unfortunately, they've been very reluctant to do so.
What do you know then about this, Mr. Spangl?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't live inside of his head. I wish that he would read the law the same way that we do, so that we wouldn't have to force them to comply with it in court. And for the sake of the jaguar, I wish they would err on the side of caution and rely on the excellent analysis of their own scientists, which told them that there's no way that this mine can coexist with that jaguar or jaguar recovery in general. I mean, this is the reason why species are wiped out, because they lose their places to live. It's the fundamental reason why species go extinct, is their habitat is destroyed.
And the animal was last seen within a half a mile of the proposed mine. Isn't that correct?
That animal's been photographed all around that area. It is clearly living there and thriving there. It's been doing so for almost 2 years now. You know, there's no reason why more jaguars can't come here and recover this place that they always lived in for thousands of years. As long as we rely on the science and the law and do the right thing. And unfortunately, Steve, in this case, we believe did the wrong thing.
And he in effect said that the animal could find its way back to Mexico.
Well, you know, there's plenty of threats to jaguars in Mexico as well. The point of recovering a species is allowing it to go back and live in places where it lived before. There's plenty of good habitat here in the United States. The only reason we have just one jaguar now is that in the last century they were exterminated. They were wiped out largely by being shot. But, you know, now they're protected by law. But in order for them to recover, we have to protect the places they live. We have to protect their habitat. And that Rosemont area is officially designated as critical habitat, meaning it's essential to the recovery of the species. And that's the fundamental crux of the law. And then, you know, their own scientists said, yes, it's absolutely essential. It's an essential movement corridor. It's high quality habitat, and we should protect it.
Do you suspect someone higher up than Steve Spangle got to him, or what do you think?
Well, you know, we've seen a pattern where politics have trumped science with the Fish and Wildlife Service too often. A lot of good people on the ground, good scientists, good biologists who are doing their jobs and trying to do their jobs, and quite often are not allowed to do their jobs as a result of political pressure. We've seen it with other species, and unfortunately we've seen a consistent pattern with the jaguar as well. So, you know, we just hope at some point they see the light. If not, we'll show it to them.
The changes now in this final draft opinion, what does that mean for the mine's prospects for approval?
Well,
this enhance the mine's prospects for approval?
Yeah, I mean, the mine cannot go forward unless Fish and Wildlife signs off on the endangered species issues and says, sure, you know, go ahead, build the mine. It's compatible. It won't, destroy the habitat or make it difficult for these species to recover. And, you know, it bears reminding that there's about a dozen different species now that are threatened or endangered or on the verge of, you know, having critical habitat.
In the Rosemont area?
Yeah. Quite a few of which are in Scenica Creek, which is threatened by the groundwater pumping. Rosemont's going to pump a huge amount of water, billions of gallons out of the aquifer there. And, of course, our desert rivers are completely dependent on that groundwater for their base flow. If they do that, there's a very real possibility that creek will dry up and the animals and plants that live there will die.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Randy Seraglio is here from the Center for Biological Diversity. David is with us. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I wanted to remark about the other situation. They delisted the pygmy a few years ago, and that gave the green light to uncontrolled development, which is now wiping out one of those biologically rich areas in the Tucson area, the Torlita Fan. Just last year, developers destroyed one of the densest stands of saguaros in the Tucson Basin up just west of the Carlton Resort. And personally, I think it's despicable because they could put the houses closer to the interstates. It's bare land. It's all empty there. Yet they allow developers to destroy some of our richest biological habitat, totally the fan, build high-density housing developments. They're just straight in the desert. I see them just bulldozing swirls because that law that requires that they save it, just a small amount. They just destroy everything. It's horrible. I think it's an absolute outrage, especially in this community. We claim we love our Sonoran Desert. We allow this kind of thing to continue. I think it's just despicable.
Okay, thank you, David.
Well, and it's a good point. You know, you can build your house in right in the middle of some prime habitat for an endangered species, or you can build it somewhere else. It doesn't mean you can't build a house.
You have a choice.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really the same thing with copper mines. I mean, we have existing copper mines all over in southern Arizona, and you know what? They're not even at full capacity. So if you want a job in the copper industry, go ahead. They're hiring. But you know, you don't have to put a mine at Rosemont, and honestly, you couldn't pick a worse place to put a mine in terms of the critically important biological value of that area to many species, but also the economic value to our community.
790-2040, 790-2040. Randy Seraglio is with us. Randy, do you find it curious now with the new owners of the Rosemont, Hud Bay out of Toronto? There's nowhere that Hud Bay was quoted in this extensive piece, and I'm sure that Tony Davis did try to reach Hud Bay. Now, if Rosemont was still, Augusta was still calling the shots on the PR machine,
yeah,
they would have been all over the place.
They would have been spinning like a top, Bill. There's no doubt about it. That's one way that company kept
itself
afloat
all these
years.
It's curious, though, isn't it?
It's very curious, but, you know, there's a lot of mysteries here with HUD Bay. This thing is a tar baby. I have no idea why they even purchased this property, because it's not going anywhere. And, you know, they have huge environmental liabilities and a terrible track record, both with human rights and environmental contamination. One of the biggest polluters in Canada are their mines and smelters. And, you know, they're a bad actor. So I don't know, maybe they would choose to keep a lower profile. I mean, if they start talking and we start looking at their record, a lot of people are going to decide, we don't want this company in our community. Augusta could say all kinds of things about, you know, unicorns and rainbows, because they had never operated an open pit mine. There was no track record to judge them on, so they could say whatever they wanted. But HUD Bay has a very clear record of polluting the environment and treating people badly.
All right, and we have extended an invitation to the people with HUD Bay. Love to have them here on the program to hear what they are planning, and we'll see if they take us up on our invitation to the people at HUD Bay. So at this point now, you're kind of, what are you waiting on?
Yeah, the Fish and Wildlife.
On the Jaguar or what?
I think Fish and Wildlife Service maybe wised up a little bit. In May, they withdrew that biological opinion where Steve Spangle had overruled his own scientists, and they said, we're going to look at it again. And they gave a list of reasons for that. But I think the most important one is they felt that there was no way that biological opinion would stand up to scrutiny, and I'm sure we would have shown them that to be the truth. So everybody's waiting for them now to take an honest look at this and hopefully rely on the science and the analysis of their own biologists and come up with a better opinion. There's no way this mine can coexist with those endangered species. It just can't happen.
All right, Randy Seraglio. Thank you, Randy, for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Okay,
appreciate it.
Randy Seraglio from the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. At one time, the center was actually started, didn't it, Randy, over in Silver City?
Yeah, right over in that area near the Gila Wilderness. Beautiful mm-hmm. area. Just
well,
incredible.
That leads me right in to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Taste of Downtown. That's coming September 6th. To downtown Silver City, then Pickamania, that's the big kind of fiddlers and guitar festival, September 12th and 14th. It's a great place to get away, just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And great places to stay. You can stay over at Bear Mountain Lodge, among others. Find out all about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and termites. Termites is serious business. I'm telling you, talk about eating your home away. They can do it. Best call ever made, five-star. Five-star termite and pest control. A great job. They leave no mess. They're economical. And guess what? They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:51 on this Monday afternoon, Anthony Jamino is the Buckmaster contributor on Wildcat Sports. Anthony's been around the block a time or two as a sports journalist here in Tucson, more than 20 years covering UA Athletics. Most recently, he is writing for FoxSportsAZ.com. He's the host of AG's Wildcat Report on Facebook, and he is a senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Always good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. I can't believe the summer is, as far as sports, is over, basically. You've got football starting with UNLV coming to town a week from Friday.
Right, we're 11 days out from the opener. The football team, they'll go through about 6 more practices the rest of this week to try to settle some spots and evaluate some personnel. And then on Sunday, they start game week prep. You know, it's a Friday night game here in Tucson. And then they turn around and play another unusually timed game, where they play the following Thursday at Texas San Antonio. So we're going to get a double dose of Wildcat football in 6 days, starting here really soon.
And I did say it's Fox Sports Arizona, spelled out, .com, right? Okay.
Yeah.
We can look for your reports there. So the media day was kind of yesterday. And who has emerged as the, well, there are a couple of questions, running back and quarterback, I think, are the two big ones. And is this something we may not know until after these first couple of games?
That's possible. We can tackle quarterback first because that's foremost on everybody's mind. Rich Rodriguez is still kind of playing out the string. I don't think he wants to close the competition to any of the four guys. He wants to see them keep competing. But the guy who's taking the first team snaps in practice, at least in the ones that the media's allowed to see, has been Anu Solomon, the redshirt freshman who was really the centerpiece of Arizona's 2013 recruiting class. And probably the number two guy right now is Jesse Scroggins, who's a fifth-year senior, began his career with a couple years at USC. The next guy behind them may be Jared Randall, who's a former LSU quarterback, who's probably the most athletic of the bunch, probably just has the most raw skills. But as of now, this is his first year in the system. Mentally, he's a little bit lost in the playbook, the coaches say. So he might be a guy who gets a little bit of a package during a game. I think Arizona can coach him up on a certain number of plays and put him in as a real wild card guy who can run the ball and has an amazingly strong arm. Whether he can put some touch on some passes is a question right now. But those guys Anu and Jesse seem to have broken from the pack a little bit. And Anu's really, I think his claim to fame right now, he understands the playbook pretty well, and he's really solid in every area. Jesse's a little more unpredictable, probably a little less accurate, even though he's probably has a stronger arm and is a better athlete.
So we could see a true freshman, a quarterback?
Well, he's a redshirt freshman.
Oh, redshirt. Okay.
And interestingly, no freshman, whether it's a true freshman or a redshirt, has ever started a season opener at Arizona through the Pac-10, Pac-12 years.
Wow.
So it could be a first if Anu's out there taking the first snap for Arizona's offense on August 29th. It'll be somewhat historic.
Hmm. And running back, who do you like?
Running back, there's a group of about six guys right now, and preferably they'd like to get a group of three that they can kind of deploy in a game at any time. It's been nice the last couple of years because all they had to do was say, hey, number 25, Kadeem Carey, go run the ball 40 sometimes a game. So there are a lot of guys. The nominal front runner right now appears to be a senior named Terrace Jones Grigsby.
Hmm.
And he's the half-brother of former UA running back Nick Grigsby, who was pretty good here several years ago. A really interesting story. He came here as a walk-on, almost left after his first year. He ran into some academic troubles, and when Rich Rodriguez and the coaching staff came in, instead of just saying, hey, we don't have time for this walk-on kid with academic troubles, they really sat down with him and helped him through it. And right now he's maybe not super flashy, but the coaches say he just is, they know they can put him out there and trust him. You know, he's going to make solid runs. He's going to pick up blocks. He's not going to make mental mistakes. So he might be the first guy you see out there at running back. Jared Baker is another, he's a junior. He's been around the program for a couple of years. Has come back from an ACL injury suffered in the ASU game last year, faster than expected, really. He's out there pretty much at close to full speed right now. He's a really fast, very fast kid. Then you have some freshmen, a freshman named Nick Wilson from Fresno, who's kind of Kadeem-like. He told me yesterday they call him Deem Jr. He kind of he is the same size, body type, looks a little bit like him facially. He's got a chance down the road to maybe be that every down kind of running back. So he's a possibility. Jonathan Hayden, who's another true freshman. He's short, quick, kind of jitterbug-like. They have a transfer from UNLV named Adonis Smith, who's a senior. So he's motivated to make good of his last chance. Then they have a bigger running back, a kid named Zach Green, who, you know, if they need a little bit more of a pile driver, he could be the guy. So there's six guys. I think the coaching staff will try to get it down to three, but it's really, really wide open right now.
Okay, AG, I've only got about a minute left, but we've got six teams in the Pac-12 that are in the top 25. Is this going to be a tough year?
It is. I think at the top, this is a very good league, and the middle is deeper than it has been. So I think there's some talk about this Pac-12 being somewhat of a high watermark for the league. You know, we'll see how that plays out, but it's going to be a difficult league to slog through. There's not a lot of easy wins on the schedule for anybody.
Anthony Jimeno with this one last quick question. How have ticket sales been? Have you heard anything?
I don't know. I haven't heard. Last year was somewhat disappointing. Even when you had a local kid like Kadeem Carey being an All-American. But the good news is ASU is here this year, and any year that ASU is here is generally a positive for ticket sales.
Okay, Anthony Jimeno, we'll look for you on FoxSportsArizona.com, and thank you very much for being with us, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you later.
Okay, Anthony Jimeno, the Buckmaster contributor on Wildcat Sports. He's also very much all over Facebook with AG's Wildcat Report. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. I'm on my second bottle here during the hour. Trying to pump more liquids, Rose. I think that's very wise for all of us. Coming up this afternoon, 4, Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw will be with us, a new local talk show. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning, The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Welcome back to longtime broadcaster, Hall of Fame broadcaster, Ed Alexander, back to KVOI, where he belongs. We're happy you're back, Ed. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.